407, grant a franchise to Quest Broadband Services, Inc., doing business as CenturyLink, to operate a cable system.
Thank you all for waiting. Welcome. We'll kick this off, Mary Beth or Sue?
Yeah, Mayor and Commissioners, I'm Mary Beth Henry, Staff Director for the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and Manager of the Office for Community Media. With me is one of Portland's stellar citizen volunteers, Sue Disciple, who represents Portland on the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, and Chris Denson and Jim Campbell of CenturyLink. We're pleased to be here for the first reading of the CenturyLink cable franchise. As FCC Chair Wheeler said last week, we recognize that broadband is the indispensable infrastructure of the 21st century economy, and democracy. And in every study about economic development, the importance of broadband internet services is mentioned prominently. What a city does or does not do vis-a-vis broadband can in large part determine a community's success. The cable franchise represents a significant infrastructure investment in our community. As you'll hear shortly from Chris Denson, CenturyLink has already started deploying fiber to the home in Portland to prepare for launch of their cable TV service. We know that competition spurs network improvements and better customer service. Today, a typical family of four has seven devices at home. We believe that by approving a second entrance into the marketplace, both the incumbent provider, Comcast, and the new entrant, CenturyLink, will rise to the challenge with network improvements and better service for our customers. The franchise requirements are commensurate with Comcast. And finally, Portland's broadband strategic plan calls for state-of-the-art fiber-to-the-home broadband. CenturyLink's commitment to deploy this infrastructure will help Portland achieve this goal. I have handed out the MHCRC resolution unanimously passed after a public hearing in January and a side letter on PEG from CenturyLink. We have a couple of comments from my colleagues, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners, for taking the time to hear about our application or renewal of our video franchise we've had for a number of years. A couple of things I'll kick off, and then I'll walk you through a brief presentation about CenturyLink and our video product, and certainly happy to answer any questions you may have. After I'm done, I'll hand it over to Mr. Jim Campbell to my right. One, I wanted to thank Mary Beth Henry and the MHCRC and certainly the City of Portland for their time and efforts to negotiate with us in extension to our video franchise. It's been, a great process and a great partnership, I think, to get where we are today. From there, I would like to walk you through just a couple of elements about CenturyLink, so I'm going to use the presentation here. Just briefly about our company. Our company has grown significantly over the last 20 years. We've been in business for 75 years. We've had three CEOs in our entire history, so you have a significantly lengthy stability, our time of stability in our leadership. But the big thing for us is right now we are a top three communications company nationally. We operate in over 40 countries around the world. We have over 400,000 miles of fiber laid throughout this country and many others as well. We are a cloud provider, a data provider, a TV provider, IT services provider, and a voice provider as well. A couple of things we do have we're bringing to the table with this video franchise is we spend about $3 billion a year in capital to invest in our communities. The second thing is we do have an innovation team and a technology team dedicated to improving and bringing this technology forward as well. And we do have experience, which I'll just show you in a moment, bringing video services to market in many different markets as well. Just briefly on the commitment to Oregon, over our history, 100 years in the state of Oregon, we've invested over $4 billion in the state. We have over 1,000 employees doing business in the state of Oregon as well. We bring in over $14 million or pay out $14 million in payroll, tax, property taxes on an annual basis, and we also contribute about $88 million in annual salaries to the state of Oregon as well. To the more recent exciting news, again, I mentioned earlier, we do invest significantly in the state of Oregon. Last year in this very building, I announced that CenturyLink was committed to building a fiber-to-the-home network in the city of Portland. That construction has taken place or has begun. You may see many of our trucks and employees laying fiber across the city of Portland. Very pleased where we are today, and that building is going to continue on for foreseeable future to get this in place as well. So very excited about what fiber to the home can bring, and Mary Beth Henry had just talked about what the future may hold. We do expect by 2020 that approximately 20 devices will be in home by that time. Quick history on our IPTV product Prism. We do pass over 2.4 million homes today in 15 different markets. We have about 250,000 customers nationally. In the last 2 years, we've launched new markets in Denver, Colorado, Colorado Springs, Phoenix, Arizona, and Omaha, Nebraska. And we would like to bring forward our Prism product into Portland, Oregon. Briefly, what is Prism TV and why is it different? As I mentioned earlier, our company has transformed over the last 20 years into a data and cloud provider. We have 59 data centers around the globe today. What that means for us is when we deliver video services, we deliver it over an IPTV platform. It's an IP-driven service. We use our fiber backbone to go ahead and deliver these services to the home. It is a two-way synchronous network that we use to deliver our video product as well. And it's also interactive, meaning that it's a cloud-based application. We can make changes, modifications, and updates real-time with the end user as well. It is also 100% digital, video quality and sound as well. It is not a traditional cable TV service, as you may know it. It is an IP-driven service. Let me tell you what that means for the end user for a moment. A couple of key things. One is the wireless set-top box. As you know, many times we have to rewire a home with either Cat 5e or Cat 6 or other like higher bandwidth capable products. With a wireless set-top box ability, we don't have to rewire the entire home anymore. Customers can go ahead and pick up a box about yay size, move it to any room they'd like to go into, and also use our service as well. So they don't have to buy or pay for 4 or 5 set-top boxes anymore. They can simply pick one up and move it to another room. Secondly, we have an app center built into our product. With the app center, because, again, we are a cloud provider, we can deliver applications right on the screen. We can update them at any given time, and it creates an experience with not only our company but many other companies as well. On the far right-hand side, I just want to point out we are a whole home DVR leader. We are one of the companies who originated the product into the marketplace a number of years ago when we first launched IPTV service as well. I just want to point out a couple other features. Many of these features you're probably already familiar with, but the one I'm going to show you in just a moment is what's called multi-view or mosaic. The reason why this is important is when people want to interact with PEG or other sports channels or other entertainment packages, they can actually do that through a mosaic. So let me show you what that is. This is an example on the right-hand side of what a mosaic PEG distribution channel looks like. This is an example in Phoenix, Arizona. In this example, you can see in the left-hand column, you have multiple PEG channels being displayed simultaneously. The customer can then select on any one of them, make it the primary channel, but they can also watch the others real-time as well. We do that not only with PEG, but we also do that with many other channel types as well, as you can see the sports one on the left-hand side. We do offer 5 packages today in our 15 markets. They are Prism Basic, Essential, Complete, Preferred, and Premium. Our rates do vary depending on what the promotional periods are at that given time, but channels starting as low as 20 channels in the Prism Basic plan all the way up to 320 channels in Prism Premium plans. These are consistent throughout the country, and we don't price or make any changes by any specific market.
What does rack rate mean?
It just means your normal retail rate without any promotions. Let me just wrap up. In good faith, we've been negotiating an extension of our video franchise. We are committed to bringing video, a wireline video broadband service to the city of Portland, and this will bring much-needed competition to this area. As you know, there hasn't been a wired video competition or competitor in this market for its entire history, and this will be the first time we'll bring that forward as well. Secondly, this is an IP-driven product, video product, and it requires higher bandwidth speeds to make it work. For us to deliver IPTV video services, it requires a minimum of 25 meg broadband connection to make it happen. So hence our interest in building fiber to the home and expanding broadband services throughout the Portland and the region as well. We're in 15 markets right now. We have the technical team capable of doing this. We've shown, we've demonstrated in 15 markets today. We are very successful doing it. We have a highly engaged technical team and innovation team as well. So we do have the experience to deliver this particular product. And lastly, we do think that everybody will benefit from having another wired competitor in the city of Portland. An FCC study about 5 years ago demonstrated that a second entrant will generally reduce rates by about 10% or more based on that particular study as well. With that, I want to turn it over to Mr. Jim Campbell for a few other closing comments.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you very much. My name is Jim Campbell. I'm the Regional Vice President for Regulatory and Legislative Affairs, and I also negotiate franchises across the country for CenturyLink. And I'm very excited to be here today talking to you. I also want to thank Mary Beth for her work and her team working with my group to get this done, both at the commission level, and I embrace you or commend you for embracing competition. As Chris said, you know, this FCC study shows that incumbents generally behave a little bit better when there's a wireline competitor. I can tell you in the markets that we've launched in Phoenix and now Denver, and I'm actually a very happy Gig and Prism customer in the city and county of Denver, that we've seen pretty aggressive reaction from the incumbent. And that's the benefit that the citizens of Portland are about to experience. I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of the franchise. As Mary Beth said, we worked long and hard to negotiate these terms and conditions. We're very excited to come here, and I certainly stand ready to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you all. Questions for this panel?
I just had one question about the wireless component you were talking about. So at home, we have something above the TV, probably from a competitor, and it has about six different wires going out of it, and there's a warren of wires behind my TV, and I'm always afraid someday there's going to be some problem because I don't know what goes where, and it's also a dust magnet. So you're saying this technology allows you to skip all those cords, and it just operates wirelessly?
Inside the home, we deliver one gateway-connected box through either a Cat 5e or Cat 6 connection. Beyond that, every other set-top box in the home is wireless. You can place it on any desktop, on your patio, move it to any room you'd like. So, yes, there would be no additional wires for any other room but one.
And is there any difference in the safety and security of the system, whether it operates wirelessly or whether it has a cable attached?
No, because the way we encrypt the information back into the set-top box, the gateway, it'll prohibit anybody from tapping into that particular signal. So the reach is not going to be that far beyond the perimeter of the person's home.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Other questions?
Actually, I've got a question. Could you send me a copy of that FCC study? Because it's always nice to see evidence that competition actually works.
Yes, we can. Absolutely. We'll get that to you.
Applicable in a number of settings.
I believe Commissioner Disciple was going to do the closing remarks.
Okay. Sue, you're on.
So in the interest of time, I've edited my remarks because I think a lot of what I had to say was covered, and that's great. But I did want to just say, and for the record, I'm Sue Disciple, and I'm one of three representatives of the City of Portland to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. And we have conducted a public hearing on this franchise in January. The Commission voted unanimously in March to recommend approval of the franchise to the City Council. You may remember that we've had a cable franchise with the predecessor of CenturyLink, Qwest, since 2007. So we have been anticipating that at some point we would have wireline competition for cable services here in Portland, and it looks like the day has come. So we are very gratified to be here today. We think competition is going to be great for Portland, and the MHCRC would like to recommend this franchise to the city. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Did we get any objections to this? I mean, I'm looking in my packet. Do we have any official objections that were lodged to this action or concern raised?
There were some concerns raised by the incumbent cable operator, Comcast, and I did respond in detail to all of those concerns and provided copies to all the council offices and then did some briefings with council offices. And as far as I understand, we're good.
Commissioner Fitch, I would like to say to that point that the commission did spend quite a bit of time addressing Comcast concerns, which we took really seriously. But we determined that the franchise has adequate build-out provisions and stage gates that really give parity to Comcast. And also, the examples that Comcast cited in other cities, we found that actually, upon analysis, our franchise was even more stringent. So we thought that the concerns raised by Comcast, while legitimate concerns, we thought were very well addressed in the franchise, and that was part of the unanimous acceptance of the franchise by the MHCRC.
Without getting into any of the specifics of any concern that's raised, just for our purposes, are we offering any term or condition or benefit to Quest DBA CenturyLink that we would not offer to any other competitor?
No, we definitely would offer this same package to any competitor that wants to come into Portland.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else that signed up to speak on this item?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
I want to speak?
One person. Oh, okay.
Come on up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Bea Coulter, Acting Executive Director of Portland Community Media. We manage the PEG services for Portland. Portland Community Media strongly supports the City of Portland's grant of franchise to CenturyLink. The public benefit provisions secured in this franchise support PCM in our efforts to connect marginalized populations to the digital world that is leaving them behind. It ensures that the Portland community has access to commercial-free cable channels, digital content creation training, and access to technology that allows them to have a voice in the community, stay current on local issues, and stay connected to their local government. It also creates an environment of real competition for cable services in Portland. Competition breeds innovation and improvements in customer service, and competitive pricing will enable more community members to get connected at a price that is affordable, ultimately bringing new customers online. It's good for Portland. This could not happen without the smart, thoughtful, and caring people that work in your Office for Community Media and who volunteer on the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. They have stewarded these processes for years on behalf of the city, securing exceptional benefits for the City of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. A good reminder of what the benefits we obtain from those franchise fees and from this whole system. Thank you very much. Questions? Well, thank you all, Sue, to you and the other volunteers that serve on the commission. We really appreciate your service. It's another case where our volunteer citizen commission and a capable staff are getting to a good result and negotiating something that's really important to the whole community. So thank you for good work. This will return for second reading next week. Thank you. Okay.